Unstable power grid brings us to this point today. We read you a stream of consciousness. Welcome to Binary Jazz of updates as we started this episode. That's what it said. How about just from my phone? Are my messages coming through? Seems everyone moved to mobile, and that is overloaded as well. And none of those messages sent. And then suddenly the internet, well, the power kicked back on, and eventually the internet. Ah, there it is. They've showed up, all sent at 10:31. Hi, this is a show about pretty much nothing. Maybe even more so today. I'm joined as always by my friends, Chris and Allison, both on the internet. You can find them. If you go to binaryjazz.us, there's links to places. That's how you get to us. Usually there's a topic, we talk about it. That's it. That's the gist of it. If you're here, you know. This isn't your first rodeo. Someone tweeted that one time, like, it seems like one is not a sufficient number of rodeos to get the hang of things. And I agree with that sentiment.
Many rodeos.
Yeah. I'm going to try plugging my monitor back in.
So are you in the middle of a storm? Why did your power go out?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. It's just random then.
We had some clipping yesterday on it. But it was a good 10 minutes it was down just now. It's a little rainy, but not crazy.
Not like something's been knocked down rainy. Yeah.
And it really got my pulse quickening when I can't tether from my phone. Okay. Maybe that's just a weird thing. But then the fact that the cellular network was overloaded was also I was starting to think after 10 minutes, what if this is going to be an ongoing problem? Holy crap.
Where you bust out the ham radio.
I mean, I was trying to think, how can I communicate? What devices do I have to communicate with that don't rely on a cellular or hardwired internet connection? And then who would I talk to anyway? And and holy shit, if this is an ongoing thing, this is not the time to schedule it. Great.
Yeah, let's see. If I could not communicate by internet or cellular, who do I know that still has a land? I payphone to England, maybe. I guess. I mean, I don't. I probably need to look at my phone to see if I have somebody on the team's phone number. All that stuff. I don't have everybody's contact information in my phone. It's all on the internet. Why do I need it on my phone?
Yeah. In the club. Well,
and so I did what you do, right? Power goes out. You hop on I was trying to hop onto the company's website to report the outage, but it was so slow loading, which I retrospect the network was saturated. So then I'm like, well, I'll just call them because I have the number stored in my phone because it's Florida. Mm-hmm. Power goes out from time to time and you report an outage, you know? And so I called and the area where you report outages dumped me immediately. You go through the menu. And so that exchange was overloaded as well, which is when I started to panic a little, thinking what if this is a big thing, you know? And stacking disasters.
Have I told you about the earthquake that we had a couple of weeks ago?
We had multiple earthquakes, though. Yeah, we had the aftershocks, too.
Right, yeah, the aftershocks got pretty big. So we had a fairly large earthquake a few weeks ago. It was a 5.7. It was centered about 15 or so miles, a little bit south and west of us, in a town called Magna. And there wasn't any major damage to us. There wasn't a huge amount of damage in Salt Lake City. There was a lot of damage centered around the earthquake. And then we got a ton of aftershocks, some of them getting into the 4 range. So first of all, there's the whole this is not a good time for an earthquake, but along with that earthquake, there was a chemical leak because it's like a mining town. So it was venting, I think it was venting hydrochloric acid into the air.
Oh my gosh.
Like hydrochloric acid steam.
Pretty sure that's the beginning of an X-Men movie.
Right. Yeah. And then, I mean, they obviously took care of it and it's not a problem now. You have global pandemic and then you have like natural disaster and then you what's the next part of that?
As you were saying that, I got a message from my mom, suggesting that in times of crisis, the firstborn child is the one that needs to be eaten. So I think there's your answer.
That I'm the youngest. My
parents are going to eat me. If I'm not available next Thursday.
That's why.
Parents had me for dinner.
Well, my parents are. We're now blocking people at the state line apparently in Utah. Yeah. We're not letting people in, but we're giving everybody needs to take a survey to see if they've had been in hot spots or had any symptoms of COVID. So if my parents tried to come to get me to eat me, they'd get stopped at the state line. And since they live in California and in the Bay Area, they probably would be told to turn around and go home. So they can't eat me.
Have you watched Bad Lip Reading on YouTube?
Yes.
The Royal Wedding was.
I didn't watch that.
Wedding was. It was pretty good. At some point, the minister says to the couple, "What is your favorite Harry Potter character?" The answer is Hagrid, and he says, "Not correct." And I feel like that's the kind of questioning you would expect at the Florida border, right? Ultimately, you'd still get through, and they give you a glass of orange juice for coming in. But you know.
What is your favorite color?
That's totally what I mean.
Not correct.
What is the airspeed velocity of a sparrow?
We watched that a while ago because I said I haven't seen this in a decade and a half. How does it hold up?
It holds up.
It's not as funny now as I thought it used to be.
Oh, I still think I find it absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, it holds up.
I did the same thing. I was like, I haven't seen that in 15 years. And then, but half the movie I was just saying the lines along.
Well, that may have been it annoying too.
My partner. So
yeah, that may have been part of it too. Was that I knew the next scene, and I was surprised at how well I knew what was coming next. I must have watched it a lot more than I recall in my formative years.
I definitely, at some point with my best friend in junior high, we printed out the entire movie.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Which, I remember because we got in trouble from her parents from using up so much ink on the printer.
I printed the entire shout-along script for Rocky Horror in a similar fashion, yeah.
Nice.
So, it was the entire script and all the lines that you shot back at the screen.
Well, okay, if we're going to be on brand. My printed script was episode 4 of Star Wars. I wrote a research paper my junior year on Star Wars. Nice. I don't know why they allowed me to do that. They did. I got an A on it. I think I was 25 pages beyond the minimum required.
Something, something, hero's journey.
I mean... There was a lot of summarizing and explaining the imagery as I understood, and it was in the formative years of the internet. So of course, most of the internet was, nerd culture, and it was easy to find resources to reference. Before we had an MLA format for referencing internet sources, which meant I also had to find books in the library that I could put down as reference source.
There is an MLA. There is definitely an MLA format for referencing internet sources when I. I feel like it probably existed because I learned it in my first year of college, so I definitely used it throughout college.
I definitely wasn't allowed to use it in high school, or maybe maybe it was where you just had an old outdated MLA book and that's why we had no reference for it.
Yeah.
I certainly did in college. I mean, so it was only, 2 years later, I certainly was referencing web pages, which in hindsight, not useful. The internet changes quickly.
No.
It's, you know,
especially if you, like, you go back and look at those sources now, probably 70 to 80% of those are non-existent anymore.
I am a contributor to Batcash, the automatic plugin.
Congratulations.
And my contribution was updating a link that explains how it was named. So there's a...
That sounds like a legitimate Gary contribution to...
Ixa Village.
Yeah.
I was looking at it, and I'm like, why is it called Bat... I mean, I get like the Batcash part. That's fun. But I'm like, there's got to be a story behind it. The repo. Sure enough, in the README, which I could have read locally, but I didn't. I went to the repo. It talks about some bat sanctuary somewhere. And I'm like, this is fantastic. So I clicked a link, to learn more because, you know, Wikipedia rabbit holes don't only exist on Wikipedia. And it was 404. But it was on a site. I'm like, oh no, this article still exists. This has clearly just been, the link is outdated. So I did the research and came back and updated the README a little bit, but mostly updated the URL and opened the pull request. That was like 6 months ago and it was just merged. And I'm, you know, I now feel that I can officially say that I'm an open source contributor because I have had code merged on 3 open source projects. Not counting like agency projects that only agency uses, you know, like who cares about that stuff, but real stuff that people use.
I contributed to Core very long ago. It was mostly, I think it was just documentation.
I have a standing unit test.
I never want to do that again, by the way.
Oh, really?
No.
I would like to find something that I can do, but it, you know, it seems like the whole, contributing to Core seems like great until you realize like it's 95% like the political part of it and 5% the actual code.
Yeah.
So I wrote a unit test for validating email addresses with umlauts, you know, because I have a passion for umlauts apparently. I don't know. I wrote a test for it and it's sitting there somewhere. Actually, I should check and see. Maybe it's been merged and I don't know it. It'd be kind of cool.
I tried to contribute at one point, but most of the issues that I thought, I'm like, oh, I got this, were taken. Like CSS stuff was snapped up pretty fast. And then I found another issue where I was like, oh, I can totally do this. And then it wound up devolving into like a weird argument. And I just sort of like was like, nope. And like extracted myself. I was like, I don't have time for this. I just wanted to help, but I don't have time to argue.
Yeah, I feel like getting deeper into anything other than, and the only reason I feel like my updates to documentation were even merged in to begin with was A, because whoever the release lead was really like pushing to get more inline documentation into Core, but also B, because we knew someone who had commit access or had some sort of pull in Core development. And if those things were not the case, then it's all about like posturing and positioning yourself and saying, well, no, you should definitely push this. But I'm like, I don't want to, if I was trying to do it on my own without like someone saying, yeah, this is good, you should merge this in because of whatever, and just like put it out into the ether. I don't care.
Yeah. It's, I get it. It's a huge project and you know, there's no way it can't be political with as many people using and contributing. But like, whatever.
I think the thing is you can't have it both ways. You can't expect, like, you can't be encouraging and being like, yeah, everybody contribute, but except for, and that's like the juggling act that they try to do is like, have it be open source, but it's like semi-open source.
Yeah. And I think that it's a messaging issue. Wow, this is a fun topic.
Yeah. I have a topic and I have a little quiz. We can just skip to the quiz.
No, let's just go to the topic. I don't want to talk about WordPress Core anymore.
Do you want to do topic or should we do topic and quiz? When are we ending?
Time, I guess.
Do you have a meeting at the hour?
Oh no! I have, my meetings are officially canceled until my power comes back. I'm not letting people know because my message that says my power is out finally went through. My power came back, so I'll sit on that for a little while.
I have a meeting that I don't have to go to. So, yeah, I can.
So, is that topic or skip to quiz?
Let's do topic.
Okay. The topic is Azurasia. And I'll spell it for you.
Okay.
A-G-E-R-A-S-I-A. Azurasia.
A-G-E-R Asia.
Yeah.
That's not how I thought it would be spelled.
No, that's why I was just like, I'm going to offer up the spelling because I wouldn't have any idea.
Because what I was hearing was azure, like the color Asia, which then made me think of like Eurasia and like euthanasia and those words don't have anything to do with each other.
Well, as always, let's start with the suffix.
The suffix, not the prefix.
As we always do.
Start from the back, okay.
There's a pattern here. Asia is definitely a continent.
Yeah, and age is a period of life.
It's a number.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Azurasia is definitely a continent of elderly people.
Well, crack that case.
Can you imagine if it was just like Madagascar is an Azurasia?
I feel like that's probably ableist. Very ableist definition. We don't want to let that stand.
No, that's fine. I feel like there are ways to approach this that are perhaps less, I don't know where I'm going with this, perhaps less.
Linguistic? I don't know where you're going with it either.
I would like to make it broader, and I'm not sure how to do that.
Okay.
Take your idea and make it, and to broaden it.
Right. Okay. Broaden it. Well, I'm not going to do that. Right. Euthanasia and synesthesia and other things that end with Asia or Zia are like states of being.
No, we're not going to bark. I've had enough of it.
It's the state of being in a barky. It's the state of wanting to bark. No.
Right before you're about to bark?
Right before you're about to bark. You want to bark. You're like, wait, I feel a bark coming.
So been there.
No, it's why is there a thing? Why go away? All right, good.
What's funny about this is that you're both like dancing around the actual.
Are we really? Yeah.
Vaguely, but.
Yeah, well, that's story of my life, right? Vaguely aware of what's happening.
Not the barking, the other stuff.
Oh, is there for certain a is that pronunciation the correct?
I think so, as far as I can tell, because I read it in a book and then I looked it up, and that's how people were pronouncing it. Because I was like, I don't know what that means. So feel free to pronounce it some other way.
I mean, it could also be related to like agoraphobia, in which case it would be like being in a place where you are, it's too open. Feeling like things are too open. Too much space. The feeling of there being too much space around you. Azurasia.
I threw a blanket over the dog.
I feel really bad for that person who has it. They're just like in a field freaking out.
There's too much space.
What's well, it's what about Bob, right? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. I just can't figure out what the first four letters could possibly mean.
The ager part?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe it is the study of, like, elder Asian populations.
No.
A little on the nose, but...
A little on the nose. Because, or maybe you're splitting it down the middle wrong.
That would be a different...
Yeah, but what does ratio mean, for crying out loud?
It would be a different word if it was the study of elderly people or older people. There's another more scientific word for that that has like Latin roots that is not age. So I'm fairly sure that has nothing to do with age.
What does ager mean? A-G-E-R.
Well, let me pull out my Latin to English dictionary that I have right here.
Yeah. Why didn't you get that earlier?
Earlier in the show. Why'd you get that at episode 3?
I learned in Catholic school that ager means a small self-combusting bush.
That's frightening. You're like walking down a trail.
Yay, though, he walked along the ager.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, I feel like when we find out what this is, it's going to be like, yeah, that makes sense.
It's not thrilling. I mean, like, it's not the adrenaline rush of your power going out.
I mean, my mind went a little batty there for a minute. Like,
my mind would too.
I need to lock the doors and maybe think about survival here. Like, what's our food situation? Like, it got a little weird for the last 3 minutes of that 10-minute outage. Blood pressure was rising. I was like, what if this is a long thing? Holy shit.
Well, surely at some point, either power or cellular service or something would be accessible at some point.
One would think, yeah, it would normalize, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think, I people like, we're doing all sorts of disaster planning here when like things started getting serious with the pandemic, and like Aaron's sister-in-law or sister's boyfriend, my sister-in-law's boyfriend was like, yeah, and we can rig you up with a generator. We lost Allison. We can rig you up with a generator if your power goes out to her parents on a call. And like, I really don't think we're going to be in a place where the grid goes down and it's not possible for it to come back up again.
Yeah. Like, I agree with you.
We're not in zombie apocalypse time. We're not like the workers aren't, it's not like electricity workers are essential. Like, they're still going to work. It's not like we're shutting down the power grid because there's like, yeah, it's not a thing. Eventually the power will come back.
Yeah, I get that. But the Floridian in me was thinking like immediately like hurricane, right? I don't have enough water. I haven't charged the batteries and everything I own. This is going to suck for 3 or 4 days, you know? And I can't run out and get that stuff immediately because.
Yes, that part of it is true. Like, if there was something that was on top of, what is already happening, like, and not being able to go to like grocery stores or not wanting to go to grocery stores because of possible contaminants, then that's definitely a very real thing to be worried about. But I feel like the rest of things, you know, unless we start a war with North Korea or something, are fairly under control.
Have you seen the movie A Quiet Place?
No, and now that you're bringing that up, is that something that I don't want to see after having this conversation?
No, I don't like scary movies generally, but I really enjoyed it. It is like a suspenseful type movie. It's not like a slasher movie or anything, but
can you remind me that's the one like where, without giving away any plot to Chris?
There's like weird creatures that react to any sort of sound, and you have to be as quiet as possible.
Oh, and there's a sequel coming.
Yes. Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
Is it already out or no?
It was supposed to come out during all this. I don't know if it actually did.
So it's like the Weeping Angels in Doctor Who, except with sound.
Yeah. And they're like, it's just really scary. The first scene is like, it sets it all up perfectly. And you're just kind of like, I went into it being like, this can't be that bad. Like, this is fine. But you're on pins and needles the whole time for this family. So
I too am not a fan of scary movies. And I really enjoyed this one. It was not like the surprise, like, whatever.
Yeah, it's not like a slasher, like Michael Myers situation at all. Like, it's.
Yeah, it was legitimately frightening.
Well, those aren't scary.
Yeah.
Those are just dumb.
I'm a sucker. Well, I'm a sucker for like the jump.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's true. I used to watch so many of those movies that like they didn't affect me anymore. And now if I go back and watch something like most of the time I like am expecting things and I don't get caught by the jump cuts, but every once in a while. And then like I jump and then that makes Aaron jump and then yeah.
So as your agent.
And then she like punches me really hard and yeah. My daughter has a really low tolerance for creep of any kind. Mm-hmm. So we tend to avoid things that have any sort of like even like I made various playlists for role playing, and I made a playlist that was all like suspenseful music, and even just mentioning that there is a playlist for a suspense, like she's like, you're never playing that, right? I'm like, no, I'm gonna play it every once in a while. It's like, no, you're never playing that. It's like just knowing that it's out there is like enough.
Ready, yeah. Ready to be yeah. Skittish.
Like we started watching Buffy, first season of Buffy. And that was too much. And like the first season is probably spookier than the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Because it's more based on its roots of like horror slasher.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, no, it was too much. Well, and like I feel like Buffy is
a Quiet Place.
I feel like Buffy is like it has those moments, but it's also like fun and like playful and like making fun of everything. Like satirical,
and especially in the first season, there is like a there's that TV show feeling of like nothing really bad can happen.
Yeah,
like
yeah, but the kids have
later seasons.
The kids haven't figured that out, or at least that's not a conscious thought when we're watching stuff. Like even when things are happening, even when we say like it's not really like he's not really going to die this episode because if he did, then there wouldn't be the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Like. It's not there for them in the same way that it would be for
us.
Yeah. Like we were watching Cowboy Bebop and like there's one point where Spike gets shot and you think that he's dead and he's like lying in the snow, like not moving and she's like, oh, you know, like and we're like, but he's not really dead because that would be kind of almost the end of the show. Like
we've got a lot more.
Like there's more to come. It's okay.
Now, if we're in the last season, you start getting nervous.
Yeah,
that's when.
But yeah. Mostly, if it's Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in any season of Game of Thrones, honestly, you're just terrified that everybody that you like is going to die, and then they do. So you know, no. The people that you hate are the people that end up living, and then you end up not hating them as much. And yeah, it's just. You Game of Thrones is like a game of attrition. Like all the characters that you hated at the beginning, like you end up like not hating just because they're still around.
You're like, well, they survived.
Everybody else that you cared about is gone. But like these people that you thought were stupid or horrible at the beginning, like, well, they're not as bad as this guy over here.
They survived. Yeah.
They're not they as bad as that it, guy so that punched out bad. The dude's eyeballs.
God.
All right, so Azure Asia, I need an answer.
Because we're running, we have 10 minutes remaining.
Okay. all the messages from Zoom, I know. It's from ancient Greek, and it means an outward appearance more youthful than one's true age. Or like another phrase for it would be like uncountable in ancient Greek. So it's like when someone's like totally the opposite, where you're like, wow, I can't believe they're 80. The end.
So when people make comments to me, like, I look exactly the same as I did in college, then, which is not true, by the way. then that would be...
No, wait, who says that? The people you knew in college or the people who know you now?
People who know me now.
Huh.
Interesting.
It's not true at all. And not just because of the facial hair either. So but that would be ajurasia, is like a feeling that the person that you're looking at does not appear to age.
Yeah. Like really good for their age. Now on to the quiz.
Can we do the quiz in 8 minutes?
Yes, because it's a non-quiz quiz.
Okay, good.
Oh.
Okay.
It's a non-quiz quiz.
Yeah, I know exactly. I'm like, get ready. The title of the quiz is meal or snack.
Okay.
So the first is there, hot is dog. Meal or snack?
Meal.
Is there a both? It depends on the context.
You can't use that for all your answers, though. You get two.
But I
bowls.
Might.
But you get two bowls.
Two both. Okay, then I'm declaring right now that peanut butter and jelly sandwich is both. That's my second both. Hot dog and peanut butter and jelly sandwich are both.
Hot dog is a meal.
I don't like just one though.
A hot dog.
Yeah, just one is not a meal.
You know, there's nothing wrong with eating light. Like, I've done that for lunch. I've eaten a hot dog for lunch and nothing else.
You know, these are different times, maybe, to be asking these questions.
That's fair, yes. Anyway.
Okay, yeah. Pita and hummus. Snack or meal?
Snack.
Oh, right. Nachos.
No, I definitely had this a meal.
Nachos?
Meal.
Yeah, that could be a meal. Although, like, I guess if you got it at, like, if it's the kind of nachos that you get at like a sports stadium, like a sports game, where it's just like a tub of cheese and then like a bowl
it's
of not cheese or something.
It's not cheese.
Well, right. I mean, cheese.
But bare bones, the skeleton.
Yeah. Then that's not. I mean, that's not.
That's but, is that really even nachos at that point? Or is that just like.
I mean, it's called nachos on the menu. Like you order nachos.
Yeah.
That's very generous.
It's a very generous
definition.
I agree. That's not a nacho that I would want.
Yeah. Yes.
Slice of pizza, meal or snack? Slice of pizza.
Meal. Yeah, meal. I'll go meal. With that. I don't know why that's better than a single hot dog though.
Yeah, meal.
I have really weird logic.
That's fine, but it's a meal. I'm
yeah.
With you.
So interesting. Okay, dumplings, meal or snack?
Dumplings.
Meal.
Meal.
Because plural means that I will eat too many.
Okay.
If it was singular, it would very clearly be snack.
I was trying to think of like dumplings that I've had like ever, like anything
really?
That would fit into that category
as a meal,
or like just generally.
Yeah.
Just generally,
I love Chinese dumplings of any sort.
Okay, meal replacement bar, meal or snack?
Snack. Yeah. It's even in the title. It's a replacement.
Empanadas, meal or snack?
Now, this is a weird one. I'm going to go with snack because that is most often how I've consumed them.
I'm trying to snack. Like, well, can I have a ruling on the definition of an empanada, please?
What do you mean? Like, size? Because they do come in different sizes,
no,
I guess.
No, I'm just like having trouble picturing it in my head.
It's might like,
a fried thing, typically
cheese.
Cheese and something else inside a fried thing.
Okay.
The size of a taco-ish normally.
Okay.
But closed all the way around.
Okay.
Like a Mexican calzone.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yep.
Oh, that's perfect.
I'll call that a meal.
Interesting. Okay, a cinnamon bun. Meal or snack?
Snack.
That's a buns breakfast. That's a meal. I mean, if you eat it not at breakfast time, then it's not a meal. But if you
so
eat
it could be like dessert.
Yeah, or it could be dessert. But if you ate it like in the afternoon at like 2:30, then it would be a snack. But otherwise, it's a meal.
I like where you're going with this. Like you're saying, like it very distinctly, it corresponds to meal, breakfast. So when you have it there at that time of day, it's a meal.
Yes.
Otherwise, if you like permission to have it the rest of the day, you have to have it as a snack.
Yeah.
That's fine.
As long as it doesn't preclude me from
eating it in the middle of the afternoon.
It makes the most sense to me out of all the answers for some reason. I'm like, oh, okay, yes, of course. Boundaries, I see.
Yeah.
It's like eating cereal for dinner. Like, that's not really a meal. The only thing that's changed about the cereal is the time of day. But like, if you're eating it for dinner, like that's not a good dinner. That's not a meal.
Right. Mm-hmm. So would you re-qualify some of the things I've suggested as technical meals, but just bad meals?
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Like not
like, the like a hot dog would probably be a bad meal.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's fair. I'm not going to argue against that. That's totally fair.
Good snack. Bad meal.
Yeah, I'm not my best when that's my lunch, but you know, whatever.
Like, I know we can all make do, but
yeah.
Okay. Quesadillas, meal or snack?
Meal.
It depends on if you put something other than cheese in the middle.
I mean, even with so the kind cheese of
similar
middle.
To the nachos, like if it's deluxe, then
yeah. I think that if it's just a basic, I mean, I guess it would still qualify as a meal. I would just want it to be more than I would want more than that thing. But
that's okay. You can want more.
Yeah.
And that's
I
the
I want my quesadilla. I want my quesadilla to have more than just cheese in it.
We had spaghetti last night, so that's my lunch today.
So meal, not snack.
Yeah, that qualifies as a meal. Although that's another thing where like, yeah, but if it's just spaghetti and sauce, I kind of want there to be more than that.
We need some leftover vegetables. We have Brussels sprouts, and we also have broccoli and cauliflower.
How do you prepare Brussels sprouts? Because I
roast the
not...
crap out of them.
Okay. That's the only way I seem to like them. And I'm like, are people doing other things to them? Like,
Ryan did it. I'm in a cast iron skillet last night. It was really nice.
Yeah.
Really nice. So not dissimilar from roasting, but I think that there was like a crust around them.
Yeah.
Cuts them in half. So they're crust on the cut side. Oh yeah. That's what
we had. We had these Brussels sprouts. We went to Monterey last year. I don't know. Time. It's an abstract concept. We went to Monterey last year and we went to have lunch in the restaurant in the aquarium. And we got like roasted Brussels sprouts. Like actually there's like, I don't know if they called them like crispy Brussels sprouts or something, but they're like super, super roasted. So they're super crispy. And they're also like marinated in this orange sauce sort of. So like they were like, they're crispy and sweet and salty, and there's but like we make them and just like roast the crap out of them. Like you want to get them to like the point where they're not quite burnt, but also like still like crispy on the outside.
Yeah.
Anything less than that is not good.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, maybe it's just my personal taste and just like having boiled ones when I was younger or something, but like,
I'm not sure why parents like that. Willing Brussels sprouts.
It's not just Brussels sprouts. It's like all vegetables were boiled at one point or other. Like, and boiled vegetables is probably the worst way of cooking any vegetable. Like, I can't imagine besides maybe corn on the cob. I can't think of any vegetable that would be even okay boiled.
You know what I really like is steamed carrots.
Steamed any vegetable is immensely superior to boiled that vegetable.
Boiled.
Without a doubt.
Everything I was thinking of, I was like, no, I'm not thinking boiled, I'm thinking steamed.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz.
Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.